Trend number one, the truth about employment and productivity. At the end of the past decade, as the recession hit and business activity dropped, companies cut their workforces. When the economy began to warm up, there were many uncertainties associated with having a larger workforce, like potential new healthcare costs and additional regulations. These uncertainties discouraged companies from rehiring the people they had laid off. Instead, companies discovered ways to do more with fewer workers. One of these ways was choosing capital expenditures over added manpower. So the addition of new and better equipment and technology drove productivity even higher. The recent striking imbalance between productivity and hiring in the U.S. is an anomaly when compared to what we see in other rich industrialized nations, as well as in America's own history. In the past, when U.S. businesses faced slowdowns, they held on to workers. Wanting to retain valuable employees and their skills for when business turned around, businesses kept them on the payrolls doing make-work jobs such as plant maintenance. And this obviously had a negative effect on productivity. In the current recession, this is the model Japan and Europe have continued to follow. As a result, at the depth of the recession in 2009, Japan experienced a 3.7% drop in productivity, and Europe experienced a 2.2% drop. However, in the just-in-time world of the 21st century, the wisdom of holding on to more workers than needed at any given moment comes into question. Paying workers when they are not producing anything may seem generous and caring, but in the long term, it weakens a business, makes it harder for it to remain competitive, and even jeopardizes its existence. Meanwhile, the U.S. businesses that have pulled back, regrouped, and retooled have maintained healthy profits and are now in a prime position to capitalize on rebounding markets. Ultimately, it is these businesses that will have the means to introduce new products, capture a larger market share, and end up hiring more workers than the businesses that kept surplus workers. So, ironically, while the latter may have believed they were protecting their employees, they may end up undercapitalized and unable to take full advantage of the opportunities available in a growing economy. Fortunately, many American firms have realized that in a globalized economy, the only way to maintain a high standard of living is with extraordinary levels of productivity. Over the long haul, American workers can justify wages a dozen times those of Vietnamese workers only if they create a dozen times as much value. And it's those high wages that create the growing demand for more output and ultimately more jobs. As long as workers are willing to learn and grow, losing a job in one industry due to automation should simply pave the way to a new job in another industry. David Bowers, a managing director at London-based Absolute Strategy Research Limited, was quoted recently on Bloomberg.com expressing this very point. According to Bowers, as demand strengthens, corporate spending is going to be the heart of the recovery and will unleash favorable second-round effects in the labor market. When that happens, people will be surprised at what a powerful effect it'll have on consumer finances and consumer spending. Nevertheless, many still hang on to the persistent belief that productivity growth is a long-term job killer, despite all the evidence to the contrary. And it will only be when they're proven wrong during the next wave of economic expansion that they'll be forced to admit the truth. Growing out of that fundamental misunderstanding of productivity's impact on the viability of a national economy and the standard of living of workers are several other misconceptions that also cause people to discount the power of productivity. Recently, the McKinsey Quarterly examined and debunked four of these misconceptions, or myths. Myth number one, productivity growth should not be a national priority for the United States. The fact is, U.S. GDP growth is more dependent than ever on productivity gains. In recent years, it has generated 80% of total GDP growth, compared with only 35% in the 1970s. This dependence on productivity will only increase as our country's demographics shift due to retiring baby boomers and a leveling off of women entering the workforce. It's estimated that productivity needs to increase beyond the average 1.7% annual rate posted since 1960 in order for today's Americans to maintain the same gains in their standard of living as their parents and grandparents. Fortunately, annual productivity growth has recently been averaging roughly 2.5%. Myth number two, productivity is only about efficiency and is designed to bolster corporate profits. The misconception that productivity gains are only good for employers overlooks the reality that high productivity is good for employees, consumers, and citizens in general. When American companies increase their output per worker hour, their profits typically go up, and that often leads to benefits for workers such as higher salaries, bonuses, and job security. When workers' incomes and shareholders' returns both go up as a result of increased corporate profits, their standards of living increase, and they also pay higher taxes that benefit the rest of society. Myth number three, productivity is important mostly for laggard sectors and companies. This is simply not true. Every company needs to be competitive both domestically and globally, and productivity is the key component of competitiveness. There is always room for improvement, whether through breakthrough innovations or adopting the best practices of others. Myth number four, productivity gains have reached their limits. Some analysts would have us believe that economic development and technological innovation have reached their limits. However, research by the McKinsey Global Institute counters this misconception, indicating that much of the potential for productivity gains remains untapped. As the report points out, even in retail, using the same lean principles that made the stockroom more efficient can unlock productivity gains in the storefront. For example, scheduling employees' work more effectively, using tools such as the ones discussed in our analysis of the predictive analytics trend this month, would enable a business to cut the total number of hours worked while also increasing customer satisfaction by ensuring that more salespeople are available when the most valuable customers are in the store. Hospitals could also become much more productive if they adopted the best practices of other industries to reduce waste and standardize the services they deliver. So, how will the U.S. keep increasing its productivity? In a recent report titled Growth and Renewal in the United States, experts at the McKinsey Global Institute suggest seven priorities for both government and businesses to address. These seven priorities are, first, drive productivity gains in the public and highly regulated sectors. These sectors, such as healthcare and education, make up more than 20% of the U.S. economy and have traditionally produced low productivity growth. Analysis by McKinsey & Company has shown that this sector could generate annual savings of $100 to $300 billion simply by increasing productivity by 5 to 15%. As China and India have shown, double or even triple-digit improvements starting from a very low base are quite feasible. Second, reinvigorate the innovation economy. Productivity gains can be realized through innovations that increase the quality and quantity of goods and services produced. The McKinsey report argues that U.S. policy and regulation should create incentives for private companies to invest in innovation and R&D. Historically, the U.S. has been the leader in R&D, but other countries are catching up. Government agencies could help here by ensuring that IT infrastructure and technologies are in place so entrepreneurs can take full advantage of emerging innovations such as big data, cloud computing, and advances in the life sciences. Third, develop the U.S. talent pool to match the economy of the future and harness the full capabilities of the U.S. population. Going forward, the big problem is not a surplus of workers or a shortage of jobs. Rather, there is a mismatch between the kinds of workers who are looking for jobs and the kinds of jobs we have available. According to the McKinsey Global Institute, it is likely that over the next 10 years, the U.S. will experience a shortage of almost 2 million technical and analytical workers, several hundred thousand nurses, and as many as 100,000 physicians. And some industries will be impacted much more than others. For example, 60% of the aerospace workforce is over 45 years old, compared with only 40% who are over 45 in the overall economy. To resolve the mismatch, three courses of action are needed. 1. Remove the barriers that are discouraging older workers from remaining in the workforce. 2. Increase the incentives for technical and analytical training. And 3. Encourage the immigration of highly skilled foreign workers. 4. Build 21st century infrastructure. Currently, America's infrastructure ranks 23rd in terms of quality, according to McKinsey. More significantly, it will not be adequate to meet the needs of our dynamic and growing economy unless changes are made quickly. Leading-edge practices need to be implemented to enable effective project selection, financing, and delivery. In many cases, public-private partnerships will make the most sense. 5. Enhance the competitiveness of the U.S. regulatory and business environment. We need to remember that we compete on a global level for businesses. At a time when the U.S. has increased burdens, such as government regulation and red tape, other countries have become more attractive to businesses by creating more favorable conditions. McKinsey identifies several key factors that need to be addressed to regain a competitive edge. Reduce regulatory complexity, streamline the process of resolving disputes, and eliminate remaining sector-level barriers to more robust competition. 6. Embrace the energy productivity challenge. Energy productivity is defined as the level of GDP obtained from each unit of energy consumed. Currently, the U.S. lags behind other countries in this measurement. The adoption of energy-saving technologies and the development of new ones will be critical in the near future. And 7. Harness regional and local capacities to boost overall U.S. growth and productivity. Best practices need to be shared among cities and regions that have markedly different growth and productivity levels. The McKinsey report also recommends that all levels of government should seek cross-regional alliances in economic development. The implementation of these 7 imperatives can help spur already rising productivity levels that can contribute to maintaining our historic GDP growth rate and the creation of jobs. Based on this trend, we offer the following 4 forecasts. First, companies will continue to increase capital expenditures. The lure of increased productivity and the resulting profits will motivate companies to accelerate capital spending. This will prove to be the stimulus that truly revives the economy. By doing so, it will deliver a host of additional benefits in the form of better jobs, better products, and higher shareholder returns. Second, good jobs will be available for those who have prepared. As companies make significant capital expenditures, jobs will be directly created in industries that provide the equipment and services these companies buy. In the longer run, the rise in productivity will create jobs across many industries as companies expand and develop new products and markets. Higher productivity rates will also allow companies to keep prices lower, which will leave consumers with more money to spend in other ways. The problem will come in dealing with those workers who seem unwilling or unable to adjust to the new hyper-competitive world. Third, consumers will benefit from a wealth of new, better, and less expensive products and services. Improved productivity will allow companies to become more competitive in terms of pricing. This will be a big win for consumers. Infused with profits, companies will increasingly invest in the development of new and improved offerings. Consumers will reward these innovative companies while reaping the benefits of better solutions. And fourth, even in the short term, the opportunities for investors and shareholders are enormous. According to Robert Bauer, chief global economist at Principal Global Investors, the capital spending boom will continue this year and into next year. Companies are finally catching up on capital spending after underinvesting for a long time. As a result of this spending, opportunities in infotech, energy, manufacturing, and basic materials will all develop. That spells opportunity for investors.